athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Go, 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 shawty. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday.
Thought we would kick things off this way on the program. As a matter of fact, on vacation last, we had a fantastic time. Went on a cruise. My wife took me on a cruise for my 50th birthday. So we went on a cruise and spent 2.5 as part of the cruise. The only stop that was made was in Bermuda. So spent 2.5 days in beautiful, beautiful Bermuda. I mean, I'd never been before. I had been wanting to go. And the thing about it, living here in North Carolina, like from OBX or the Wilmington area, it's like 650 miles away. That's it, right? Like a couple of hour plane ride, basically, or less, basically to Bermuda. Unfortunately, the only direct flights out of North Carolina are in Charlotte. But I'm going to tell you what, I needed that break right before the start of the season and had a wonderful, wonderful time. And now we're ready to get in. We're already really in the thick of things. College football season is underway, and on the HBCU side, we've got you covered like no other. And, of course, thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. A lot to get to on today's program. The HBCU National Player of the Week is Daniel Richardson, the quarterback for Florida A&M. Had a spectacular game. As a matter of fact, as he had 318 yards of total offense, 3 passing touchdowns, no interceptions. In the Rattlers come from behind, 24-23 victory over Norfolk State in the MEAC SWAC Challenge on last Saturday to kick off the HBCU football season. You can learn more about Daniel Richardson on our website at BoxToRow.com. Of course, the HBCU National Game of the Week is going to take place on Sunday in Miami Gardens. North Carolina Central and Alabama State going to get together. And Alabama State head football coach Eddie Robinson Jr. going to join us on the program. I'll tell you what, he had some guys to really come into the program. This was a team that got off to a really good start, a big win to start the 2023 season against Southern, then proceeded to lose 3 straight games, including to Tuskegee, before rebounding to win 6 of the last 7 games. Now, you know, you can't really replace a Mikey Victor, who is in NFL camp. You can't replace a guy like that on defense. But I'm going to tell you what, they added Rico Dozier, HBCU All-American out of Arkansas Pine Bluff, and added Andrew Boddy, now formerly the quarterback at Texas Southern, who really has had a couple of really good seasons in the SWAC. So you add those two guys to a team that is already really, really good. And I really like Alabama State. For me, Alabama State, and I realized Florida A&M was the number one pick from the media in the HBCU media poll. For me, coming into the season, it would be Alabama State. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find another team that has more talent, at least on paper, but you still got to play the games. And so I want to talk, and we will talk, with Eddie Robinson Jr., the head football coach at Alabama State, today on the program. And I'll talk a little bit. I had a chance to kick the season off. It's interesting because come back and we went on the cruise, as I mentioned. It got back Sunday morning. It left out of New York. So we were actually in New York City, spent the day in New York City on Sunday before flying back to Raleigh, then going up to A&T Monday, or going up to A&T in Greensboro on Monday for the coaches show to record that. And then the game, the A&T game at Wake Forest, as of course in my ninth season as the play-by-play voice for North Carolina A&T football. So may talk a little bit about that game also a little bit later on in the program. And then one of the other games, I'm really looking forward to the game on Sunday between Alabama State and North Carolina Central. Won't be at that game. We'll be watching that game. But the game I will be at on Saturday is Morgan State at Hampton. I'm looking forward to that game. I think that's really a good test for both teams. I think Morgan State is a team that, to me, is a dark horse to win the MEAC this year. I know North Carolina Central was picked to win the MEAC. I think Morgan State's a dark horse. And if you look at Morgan State and North Carolina Central the last couple of years, I mean, it's been basically a one-possession game. Morgan's lost most of those games, but it's been a one-possession game. I mean, it's been a one-score game. I think when you look at what Morgan State has coming back, now they lose some guys, especially in the secondary at the running back position, but I think enough is coming back, and that defense is so potent, and enough really good guys are coming back on the defensive side of the football that I think Morgan is certainly a challenger. And then I look at Hampton out of the CAA. It's going to be an uphill climb, no doubt, for Hampton in the CAA. That said, you've got a really good quarterback. Well, let me talk about Elijah Burris first, the running back. I mean, he was one of the leaders in terms of FCS in rushing yards per game. He averaged like 8 yards per carry, right? So you've got him coming back. I think there's enough that is coming back for the Hampton Pirates that I think Hampton can make some noise in the CAA. 3 wins last year. You know, again, Chris Zealous, the quarterback, comes back. He did some good things on last year. So I think that Hampton and Morgan State game is a measuring stick for both teams. I think more in particular, because while I think Hampton has an opportunity to really win some football games this year to challenge for the CAA crown, I don't know about that. But really, 3 wins last year, could possibly get 4, maybe 5 this year. We'll see. But a good measuring stick really for both programs. I think more so for Morgan State, because I think Morgan State has a real opportunity to challenge for the MEAC. But look, Norfolk State, nothing to hang. The Spartans have nothing to hang their heads about. Had an opportunity to win that game. The Florida A&M, remember, it was 14-0. Norfolk State got out to the lead. Then it was 14-7, 14-10 at halftime. Florida A&M takes the lead, goes up 17-14. Then it was 24-17. Florida A&M had the lead. Norfolk State scores on a 2-yard touchdown run and goes for 2 and doesn't convert. Florida A&M gets the football back with about 6.5 remaining and runs the clock out. Couple of penalties on Norfolk State. And by the way, I talk about the MEAC. I think Norfolk State's improved. I think Delaware State's improved. I mean, I didn't see the game. I think to go all the way to Hawaii with all of the challenges and to lose to an FBS program 35-14, again, the statement I'm making is sort of out of context. I didn't see the game, but I think Delaware State, I think all the teams in the MEAC are going to be, South Carolina State, I think is going to be pretty good this year under Chenis Berry. So I think the MEAC is going to be improved in 2024. Look, we had a couple of big-time icons to pass away within the last 10 days or so. Al Addles, who was a friend of this program, as a matter of fact, passed away on August the 20th. He had, of course, was the first and I believe only, if I remember correctly, only HBCU grad to be the head to head coach a team to an NBA title. He's the first and only. And then also, of course, was played with the Golden Philadelphia Warriors first. Then Golden State Warriors was on the. Now, remember when Curtis Blow said, "Tell me," in his song Basketball, "tell me were you in the joint the night Wilt scored 100 points. Well, guess what? Al Addles was on the floor, a teammate of Wilt Chamberlain when that happened. And then also passing away, Joe Daniels, who was the sports editor of the Carolina Peacemaker in Greensboro. And by the way, Al Addles played, of course, his college ball at North Carolina A&T. Joe Daniels, the sports editor, the Carolina Peacemaker, in Greensboro. I've known Joe D for 25 years. That was a really big loss. All-star photographer, covered not only A&T and Winston-Salem State, being right there in the triad. Shouts out to our listeners on WWBG and then those that listen to us on triad on Tobacco Road Sports Radio also, which is out of the triad. But he covered the ACC. He covered the Carolina Panthers. He covered high school football and sports there in the triad and HBCU's sports as a whole. An absolutely big-time loss in the HBCU sports world when you're talking about Joe Daniels. So as you may know, if you check out our website, BoxToRow.com, if you've checked out the website, you will see Box to Row countdown to 20. So we're counting down now to 20 years on the air, and we've actually on the Box to Row YouTube page have replayed some of the conversations or shown some of the conversations that we've had. We started things off last week with Snoop Dogg. We also have had Simone Biles on. As a matter of fact, Simone Biles joined this show back in 2014 before the Olympics in 2016 and what she did in 20. And of course, this year as well, we talked, it was her first national radio interview was right here on Box to Row 10 years ago around this time. Also, Jerry Rice is up there as well. So while we're doing that on the YouTube page, we're also going to celebrate here on Box to Row. And we're going to take a listen back to part of the conversation that I had with Al Addles. And, I mean, again, I mentioned a friend of the show had come on the show quite a few times. As a matter of fact, told me call him whenever I wanted to. And so also an A&T Hall of Famer, really played under the legendary Cal Irvin there at North Carolina A&T. So we've got that listen back as part of Box to Row countdown to 20, the HBCU National Game of the Week preview, and Alabama State head football coach Eddie Robinson Jr. still to come.
This is Michael Vick.
Vick under center, takes the snap. Play action, stands in the end zone, puts out to the goal line, lost it deep down the right sideline, projection, and it's caught!
And you listen to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Calling all Aggies, North Carolina A&T State University's football team has thrilling back-to-back weekends of home football games in Truist Stadium on the A&T campus that you don't want to miss. The Aggies will take on the Rams of Winston-Salem State on Saturday, September 7th at 7 p.m. and follow that up with conference rival the University of Delaware on Saturday, September 14th at 1 p.m. To get your tickets today, go to ncataggies.com to be in the house for these key early season matchups. A&T versus Winston-Salem State and A&T versus the University of Delaware. Be there. Aggie pride.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box Row. To
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Sometimes
Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick, 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 quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick, 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 quick. Sometimes I rhyme slower, sometimes I rhyme quick. I'm sweeter and thicker than a Chico stick. Here's an ice cream cone, honey, take a lick. I'll go to Big Plaza and catch a flick. Want my Timberland boots so I can...
Still to come here on Box to Row, Alabama State head football coach Eddie Robinson Jr. going to be our guest on today's program. Well, as mentioned, on August 20th, Al Attles, the legendary Al Attles, passed away. And he was a friend of this program. Last time we had him on the program was back in 2015 and had a chance to catch up with him. We talked about everything, as you'll hear in this conversation. Matter of fact, the conversation was 26 minutes long. We only have about 10 minutes or so here. So as part of Box to Row Countdown to 20, we take a listen back to our conversation with Al Attles. Can you kind of take us back to your days as when you first began as the coach? Because you were a player coach, and the NBA was a lot different back then.
Well, no question. And I actually turned it down three times. I really didn't want to be a coach. I was playing at the time, and the owner, Frank Lemuli, who was just an excellent owner and a very, very good friend of mine, talked me into it. And I turned it down three times because, I was a player, and I never thought in terms of coaching, and I knew how difficult it was. But he convinced me to do it, and I said, okay, I'll do it for 1 year and see what happens. And that turned into about 13 or 14 years. I don't know exactly the number, but I really was very, very fortunate. I had some players that I thought were very instrumental in my career as a coach. But it wasn't something that I started out to do or be. I didn't really, really think in terms of coaching.
And especially during that time, because that was the time, of course, Bill Russell became the first black coach in the NBA. And it was just a transition with especially with the NBA as probably the leading major pro sports organization when you talk about diversity and inclusion, particularly in front office and coaches and such, especially as it relates to blacks. How much did that mean to you to be a part of that is one of really the first black coaches in the NBA?
Well, I think you have to give credit to the people who do the hiring. Regardless of how you feel about doing it, until somebody offers you the opportunity to do it, you're not going to be able to do that. So Mr. Muley actually came to my house and we talked about it. And I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I turned him down three times and he couldn't believe it. And I just told him, no, I didn't think you wanted to do that. And he said, why? And I said, because I had been a player all those years. I never thought in terms of, I could take care of what I had to do, but I didn't know if I could convince others to do it. And so he convinced me to do it, and the rest is history. I ended up doing it for that 1 year, and then it turned into about 12 or 13 years, whatever the number is. And then, of course, going into the front office. So I've been very, very fortunate. But, there's a lot of people I have to thank, but I'd have to start with Mr. Muley.
Sure. And, of course, earlier this year we lost also Earl Lloyd. Like yourself, I mean, you're the first and only HBCU graduate to win an NBA championship as a coach. He was the first black player in the NBA and HBCU graduate, West Virginia State. How close were you to Earl Lloyd, and what can you speak to what he meant to the game of basketball and more specifically the NBA?
Well, Earl was the linchpin of a number of people, not only people who went to HBCU schools, but just people in general. I mean, he was the first African American to be a coach in the NBA. And back that then, in those days, we only had 8 teams in the league, so getting a job wasn't quite as easy as people might have thought. But to be able to do what Earl did, all of us were very, very excited about that. And, those who came behind him have nothing but the greatest admiration for him. Earl was a terrific coach. And I say this all the time, but he was a better person. And if you're a better person than you are for what you do, And I think that speaks volumes, and he was that kind of person.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. The one and only Al Adults joins us here on the program that year. So I got to take you back 40 years, 1975 NBA champs. As a matter of fact, I mean, you guys, you know, I wasn't even one then, but I mean, I'm a Washingtonian and grew up a Washington Bullets fan. And you guys swept the Bullets 4-0. You're talking about Elvin Hayes and, you know that whole crew was, you know, big time. But you guys had some players too. What was that year like? And did you think that you guys would ultimately win the title that year?
Well, first of all, it was a magical year. And I'd be less than honest if I said I knew we were going to win. I thought we could win, but I didn't know we were going to win. But I remember an incident going into the playoffs where a reporter called me, and we were talking, and he was, you know, kind of saying how, you know, it was going to be a good series, and, you know, it could go more than 4 games. And he went through this litany of what it was going to be like. But I could tell by his voice, the way he was talking, that he didn't give us much of a chance. And so after it was over, he called me and he said, Alvin, he said, I want to just tell you, I didn't know you guys were going to win 4 games. I thought you were going to lose in 4 games. But he said, but I couldn't tell you that on the phone. But no, I told him, I said, well, the one thing I know is there's an old saying, you can show me better than you can tell me. And so I think the players, they were very, very confident. They weren't cocky, but they were confident in their abilities. And I understood why people didn't think very much of us winning, is because the last time we played the Bullets before the series started, they beat us, I think, by 25, 30 points in a game. And you know, everybody just assumed that it was going to be like that. But what a lot of people didn't understand is we had become a better team from that time that we were beaten so badly. And I don't think anybody thought that we were capable of doing what we did, but we were capable, and it was just a great series for us, and I think that one that we will always remember.
Absolutely. Curtis Blow in the 80s said, he said, tell me, were you in the joint the night Wilt scored 100 points? And you were in the joint, as a matter of fact, on that night. What was that night like?
Well, first of all, we all know about Curtis Blow. But I tell you what, the night was interesting because, you know, everybody has an opinion about that night. But years ago, I used to get letters from people who said that they were in there. And Wilt used to tell stories about people that he'd run across, and they'd say, you know, Wilt, I was there the night you scored 100 points. And he would ask them, well, where were you? And they would give different cities that they were in, and they said the game was played in this city or that city. And Wilt would go, really? He said, what about Hershey, Pennsylvania? They said, oh, no, it was played in whatever. But there are so many people who said they were at that game. And Wilt said, if all the people that he had heard from and run across had said that they had won that game, there wouldn't have been enough people in every arena in the NBA for all those people to be at the game. But it was very interesting because the only thing that we used to laugh about was the fact that the number of people who you talked to over the years who said they were at the game and who said that we lost the game. And I think the reason a lot of people said that is because many people had a negative connotation of Wilt. And so they almost were hoping that you lost the game because for whatever reason. And he was one of the great people, other than more than basketball-wise, that I ever knew. Heard a lot of negative things about him. Well, he's selfish. He's this, that, he's that. He won't pass the ball. He, you know, all he cares about is numbers and whatever. And the only thing Wilt cared about was winning basketball games because when he lost, all the negative people came out against him. But when he won, then they would say he's selfish. So he was in a no-win situation except for his teammates and his fans.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, unbelievable when that one came to score the 100 points. Let me want to go back a little bit to your days at North Carolina A&T as a star player. And, you know, when you came on this show, you've come on obviously before, but the very first time, and I want you to kind of tell that story, the 59 Final Four, the NAIA, I think you guys A&T may have gotten cheated from a national championship. Can you kind of, tell us that story and what happened in that particular game?
Well, the thing that I remember most about the game, I think the free throws were something like, I don't know, 45 to 10 or some ridiculous number. We could, you know, it's so long ago, but I remember the circumstances. I don't want to say cheated, but I want to say that we got the bad end of the stick.
Okay.
We got too many fouls called against us and not too many against the other team, and we lost the game. And I'd heard this. I wasn't there, but the people from the school, our athletic director, he was part of a committee, so he was at the meeting. And they said they really, really reamed those referees out because it was apparent to everybody what the situation was. But, you know, it was a game that we lost. But I remember the guys and me crying and really feeling badly because if you lose a game and everything is above board, you get beat, you can live with that. But to go through what we did and, that night, you know, was very unfortunate. And it's something that we'll always remember. But we went a long way, but we didn't quite get to the final.
Box to Rose countdown to 20 and a listen back to our conversation with the legendary Al Attles. Rest in peace, Al Attles. Up next here on the program, we're talking with Alabama State head football coach Eddie Robinson Jr. Back for our 20th season, the weekly edition of the Box to Rose Blitz. I'm Donald Ware. Let me take you to Atlanta to open the HBCU season in the MEAC SWAC Challenge, the matchup between Norfolk State and Florida A&M. Norfolk State had possession first, and on the third play of the game for the Spartans,
Daniels is your quarterback for the Spartans. He gives the ball up the middle. He has running room, and he's got a big hole, and he's off and running. He's got a big play. He's still running. He's at the 30, the 20, and he's going to score the football. Touchdown, Norfolk State.
Kevon King from 82 yards, and the Spartans led 7-0. And on the Spartans' next possession, looking to extend the lead further.
To give, it's up the middle. That's a touchdown. They call it a touchdown right now.
That's a quarterback sneak.
Quarterback sneak by Jalen Daniels as the Spartans extend to a 13-0 lead.
The extra point was true, and the Spartans led 14-0 as it looked like the Spartans were trying to run away with the game. The Rattlers responded on their next possession.
Here's Richards going deep in the end zone.
Got it.
And open. Touchdown. Damn you. Touchdown, Rattlers. Big play. Thad Franklin, running back. Beautiful pass from Richardson.
From 20 yards out, just like that, the Rattlers were back in the game, trailing 14-7. A 33-yard field goal by Cameron Gillis with 11:02 remaining in the second quarter pulled the Rattlers to within 14-10, and that was the score at the end of the half. Florida A&M received the ball to begin the second half, and on its opening possession, fifth play,
Richardson got him in open. Got it. And it's going to be a touchdown. Damn you. Touchdown, Rattlers. That was Richardson to Jamari Cassette. Rattlers score.
And took their first lead of the game, 17-14. Remaining in the third, Grandon Wilcox's 29-yard field goal for the Spartans tied the game at 17 apiece. Florida A&M would respond.
Daniel Richardson is your quarterback. Rolls out. Just lose one.
Got him. Touchdown.
Touchdown, fam. You. Touchdown, Rattlers. As Daniel Richardson hooks up with Jamari Cassette.
Rattlers led 24-17. We're going to move now to the fourth quarter with about 6.5 remaining. Norfolk State driving, trailing by 7.
Give it to their running back, and he fights, and that's going to be a touchdown for Norfolk State. That's going to be Kevon King with his second score on the night.
Norfolk State head coach Dawson Odoms and the Spartans rolling the dice, going for the two-point conversion.
Give us up the middle, and they're looking to make a play. Rattlers make a play. They stopped Norfolk State on the two-point conversion attempt. Rattlers retain a one-point lead.
Melvin Beal and Al Chester on the Rattler Sports Network. FAMU ranked number one in the HBCU coaches and media preseason polls. Hold on to defeat Norfolk State 24-23. In other opening week action, it was Delaware State falling to FBS opponent Hawaii 35-14. The big game in week one of HBCU football is going to take place in Miami Gardens, Florida, as Alabama State and North Carolina Central meet. The Eagles, just two seasons removed from winning the HBCU National Championship, while the Hornets looking to win their first HBCU National Championship since 1991. On the weekend edition of Box to Row, we'll catch up with Hornets head football coach Eddie Robinson Jr. Box to Row, the radio show, airs weekly on radio stations across the country as well as on Sirius XM. To find a radio station in your area that carries the program or for more information, visit BoxToRow.com. Big game on Sunday between North Carolina Central and Alabama State in the Orange Blossom Classic in Miami Gardens, Florida. In his third season as the head football coach of Alabama State is Eddie Robinson Jr. The Hornets last year were 7-4, won six of their last seven bowl games. So this should be a big-time football game as Coach Robinson joins us here on Box to Row. What's going on, Coach Robinson? Appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me, man, and love the work you do and appreciate all the attention and media coverage you give to HBCU football.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that very much. We do here at Box to Row. Let me start here. I got to tell you, you've got a couple of guys coming in. Andrew Boddy, of course, played quarterback for Texas Southern last year. Rico Dozier at the linebacker position, played for Arkansas Pine Bluff on last year. Just talk about getting these two guys into your program who should make, who more than likely going to make an immediately and a big impact.
Yeah, I mean, we can start with Rico Dozier. I mean, as the kid, year before last when he was at Pine Bluff, had about 17 tackles against us in the Turkey Day Classic. So we were very familiar with him. But the interesting thing about him, he's from Abbeville, Alabama, which is right up the road from us. And so it was good to get him back in the state of Alabama. Great kid. Works extremely hard, never complains, and I'm excited to coach him. Of course, he's replacing Bubba Adams from last year, who was an all-conference, all-American guy, and we feel like he can step right in and take the reins over and be a great player at that position. And then Andrew Boddy is just a guy that's a leader on and off the field, just a great personality, does everything right in the classroom, in the community, and he's the type of person that you want to have.
No doubt. Let's go back to last year. A bit of a rough start. You opened the season with the victory, then had three straight losses before finishing the season, winning six of your last seven games. Your thoughts, first of all, on last season and how perhaps the momentum from winning six of the last seven can carry over into 2024?
Yeah, I think, like you said, we were off to a rough start. Played some pretty good football, but just had a couple turnovers, just wasn't very efficient. Defense was playing well the whole time. And, had a tough loss here at home in overtime against Alcorn, a tough loss against Miles College, a team that we felt like we were better than, but they beat us on that day, so you have to give them credit. And then had a tough loss on the road against FAMU where we had the ball with 3 minutes left, down by four, driving the score, and they made a play and made a pick six. The kid that was a player of the year linebacker. So it was just one of those things that you had to regroup. And my defensive coordinator, Ryan Lewis, he got up in front of the meeting and said, "Hey, man, I know we were talking of championship. We were talking of winning the SWAC and all those type things, Celebration Bowl. And let's worry about just winning today. Let's just go out there and win Tuesday, have the best Tuesday practice we can." And the biggest thing, the kids came out with a great attitude. I mean, they came out with a great attitude after that Alcorn loss, upbeat. The homecoming was the next week against Bethune-Cookman. And I think that stretch was basically what we kind of simplified everything and started talking about the right now. So this year we've just carried it over, put some signs in the building, hey, win today. And on the way out, we have a sign that said, hey, did we get better today? So we make everything focus on a day-by-day approach. And then at the end of the season, you'll get everything you deserve.
That the voice of Eddie Robinson Jr. in his third season as the head football coach at Alabama State. He joins us here on Box to Row. I mean, man, you've got, you know, all Americans all over the place. I talked about Dozier. You know, you look at Thomas, your defensive end, James Burgess, your cornerback. I mean, speak to maybe, perhaps, how special this defense can be in 2024.
Yeah, Coach Lewis, Coach Williams, and Coach Middleton, our D-line coach. I mean, those guys have really built something special. And, you know, I add my touch, but it's mainly them doing all the heavy lifting. And I just put the icing on top and give the rah-rah speech. And so, but it's been fun watching those guys develop year to year. And a lot of the same core guys, you know, Burgess is back again. It's his third year in our system. Cunningham, this guy that's a preseason all-conference guy, you know, played in the shed. He's the guy that can win player of the year. I think Rico could be a player of the year, guys. I think Burgess is another guy. I think Traquan Thomas is a guy that can have double-digit sacks. You know, Janiel Brown is a fifth-year guy who's just gotten better each year, and I think he's poised to have a great year. So it's fun coaching those guys, and they play extremely hard. They care a lot about each other, and you've got some good young guys in the mix, and they're taking on the standard and the personality of the coordinator and of myself. And so I'm anxious to see, can we get better than last year? And that's the goal.
And then Burgess is on the preseason watch list for the Reese's Senior Bowl. I mean, how exciting is that?
Yeah, that's big. And so, you know, the last couple of years with Keenan Isaac, you know, he was with the Bucks, and then recently got let go, but got picked up by the Carolina Panthers. And Mikey Victor's another kid that was with the Patriots, and we're hoping that he can make a name for himself and stay there or go to a different team. And so, you know, for us, it's just exciting to have those guys. And now Burgess is following in the same footsteps of those guys. So they all talk. I mean, it's big when you see other people in the room and then you see them going on to the next level, and that's your dream. And both of those guys had extreme high levels of work ethic. And I think that's what Burgess has now. And so he's kind of bit the apple, and he realizes I'm close, I'm right there. And so I think he has the talent, the size, and just the confidence that he can be that type of player.
Did you feel like this offense, because you were able to get a guy like a body coming out of, you know, out of the conference in Texas Southern, do you feel like he's your quarterback away from getting to that next level from an offensive standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, we all know how big the quarterback position is, you know, from Little League all the way to the NFL. The quarterback is the guy that can make everything go. But I think him and we got another kid that transferred in, Jonah O'Brien, both of those guys have been competing and pushing each other extremely hard. And so it's just been fun to watch both of those guys go back and forth. Similar skill sets, but body, I think the things that he can do with his legs and just the way he moves and controls everything, it truly can be special. And I think the biggest thing for us from last year to this year, I feel like we have more playmakers. I think it's the same guys, but they were all true freshmen last year. So now you're coming into that second year, they're kind of figuring it out. And I think now we can have a 5 or 8 yard pass turn into a 40 and 50 yard run. So we have to be more explosive on offense. You know, people say, oh man, he just want to play special teams and defense. But now we want to score points. I mean, I want to have an offense that can go up and down the field and make big plays and make the defense panic and stress them out, but at the same time have a physical running game. And so we're trying to get that right balance, but the quarterback position has a lot to do with it.
Eddie Robinson Jr., the head football coach at Alabama State, joining us for a couple of more moments here on Box to Row. I don't know. I mean, I guess people aren't really sleeping on Marcus Harris the second, because he was a preseason all-conference guy. He may not have been your more featured back last year, but this kid is 233 pounds. He's going to put a hurting on some defensive players this year.
Yeah, I mean, he came here like that. So, I mean, we have a great weight program, but after he signed him, you know, he sent us a picture and he was doing 225 30 times in high school. I was like, man. So it's like a great kid, great family. You know, his dad comes and cooks catfish for us, you know, after the home games and stuff, and probably some of the best catfish I ever had. I'm not exaggerating. He's out of Jackson, Mississippi. I said, man, you should have a restaurant. But they're a great family. But this kid here, can really have a big year. And I think, you know, he catches the ball well out the backfield, so we just need to get him more touches. Also, Daquan Kinsey is a guy that transferred from Clark Atlanta. Him and Rico Dozier played together in high school. So both of those kids are from Abbeville, Alabama, and they're back in the state. So it's going to be fun, man. I like the running game that we have. The guys up front are really moving the ball. We've been having a lot of physical practices. And so I think, to me, football is all about blocking and tackling. And if you can run downhill and be physical and stop your opponent from doing the same thing, then you have a chance to be really good.
Couple of more thoughts. Actually, let me ask you about Central. I want to get your thoughts a couple of years removed from being HBCU national champs. This may be to start the season. I don't know if you can get a much better matchup than the Hornets and the Eagles. Your thoughts on some of the challenges that North Carolina Central present?
Yeah, I mean, they have a veteran quarterback, not a lot of experience because he was playing behind an All-American guy, but he's been there 3-4 years, so he knows the offense like the coach, and so he'll be able to distribute the ball. You know, they have some playmakers, tall kid, 88, who can make plays down the field, a really good running back who's a run and catch option. And so a lot of respect for their defensive coordinator. I remember when he was at North Carolina A&T, and he was there with our offensive coordinator. They both coached there together when they were winning championships, and he was the D-line coach, and just a lot of respect for him. I mean, he has those guys that are going to play extremely hard, and as a defensive guy, I have to respect that. And so have All-American at the nose guard position who will be tough to block. So it's a great opponent, and I think both teams are going to find out what they're good at, and our weaknesses will be exposed, but I think it'll help both teams to get better as the year go on. Somebody's going to have to lose the game, of course, but I don't think that this game is going to be the defining game of either season. But we want to get off to a great start. But I like having a good opponent just because it kind of sets the tone of where you are. Last year we played Southern at home, good opponent. I think we won 10-7. And, you know, it really let us know what we were about. But we want to get off to a good start and have a great season. And we know this game is a big part of it. So I just love the matchup. And whenever you have the MEAC playing the SWAC, you always have that rivalry with the two conferences of what teams are going to do the better job of beating the other one. And, of course, FAMU got a tough win against Norfolk. So the SWAC is up 1-0 this year. So we just want to try to keep it going.
Two last thoughts. You played, you know, maybe an old school kind of guy. You know, the NIL and the transfer portal are really what they are. I noticed that, of course, Alabama State has an NIL partnership, which is great because you got to play kind of on this level. You went out and got two guys within the conference that we mentioned, Body and Dozier. Your thoughts? I mean, are you a big, you know, NIL or and transfer portal guy, even though you kind of have to make it work?
Yeah, so I've been saying for the last 20, 30 years that college football players should get paid for what they do. I mean, if you're going to play, you know, 12 regular season games, a conference championship game, and then a playoff game, and another, you're almost at 16. At that point, you should get paid. So whether it's NIL, whether it's from the schools, however you want to mix it up, I think it's great that the college football players are getting the money that they are getting. They truly, truly deserve it. So I'm 100% for it. I think for our level, for what we can do, it won't be as much, but I think what we're offering is more of a relationship. We're going to be that coach that's going to be with you for the long term. And I think that HBCU football experience, like I tell people, if you went to Jackson State, Alcorn, FAMU, Bethune, once you start going to classic games, long after you're not at your school, like right now, if Jackson State's playing Southern, if I'm in Baton Rouge or Jackson, I'm going to the game just because I'm a fan of HBCU football. If I can go to the Florida Classic, I'm going to go check it out. And it doesn't matter if my HBCU is playing in it or not. And I think that's what we offer. It's just a lifelong commitment. It's kind of like being in a fraternity or sorority. So it's a difference. And so I think that's what we have to offer. And we do, you know, do it on a small scale with the NIL. It's not like the bigger schools, but I love it at the level that we are at. And I think we can be really good at it, and we can compete and get the players here and put them going to the next level. They'll do great in school, great in life, and that's what we're trying to do.
Eddie Robinson Jr., again in his third season as the head football coach at Alabama State, joining us here on Box to Row. The Hornets are going to face North Carolina Central in the Orange Blossom Classic on Sunday in Miami Gardens, Florida. Coach Robinson, and all, as always, we appreciate the time. Good luck to you and the Hornets.
Absolutely, and appreciate you covering us as much as you do. You do a great job. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach Robinson. We've got plenty more of Box to Row on the other side.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Shane Beamer, the head football coach at South Carolina. Langford Dad, Virginia Tech. Frank Beamer.
Nothing against any son of a coach that immediately goes and works for his dad. I didn't. I didn't want anyone to ever say Shane is in coaching because his dad's the head coach at Virginia Tech. Now, I'm not naive. I know my name has opened doors for me to get opportunities. But when you're a young coach, when you get that opportunity, you better take advantage of it. I'd been around my dad's program at that point for 22 years. I knew how he did things. I wanted to go learn from others and see how other programs do things.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
Calling all Aggies, North Carolina A&T State University's football team has thrilling back-to-back weekends of home football games in Truist Stadium on the A&T campus that you don't want to miss. The Aggies will take on the Rams of Winston-Salem State on Saturday, September 7th at 7 p.m. and follow that up with conference rival, the University of Delaware, on Saturday, September 14th at 1 p.m. To get your tickets today, go to NCATAggies.com to be in the house for these key early season matchups. A&T versus Winston-Salem State and A&T versus the University of Delaware. Be there. Aggie Pride.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
Hope you enjoyed the conversation with Eddie Robinson Jr., the head football coach at Alabama State. I'm going to preview the Alabama State and North Carolina Central game momentarily, the HBCU National Game of the Week. I want to touch on, looks like Deion Sanders, of course, now the head football coach at Colorado, is in, he's always in the news, right? But now, I think what has happened now is the media is turning on him because he has gone against one of their own. Meaning, okay, so just a little background. Sean Keeler is a columnist with the Denver Post, and he's apparently, and I hadn't read all of his columns, but his latest column about, well, not his latest, the one that has drawn a lot of attention, which I would call probably Deposition Deion, the Deposition Deion column, has drawn a lot of criticism to the point that Deion has stated not only will he not speak to Sean Keeler or answer any of his questions, but the Colorado University Athletics Department, and I guess more specifically Media Relations Office, has gone as far as to put out a statement to say that his questions, meaning Keeler, will no longer be answered. He can come and cover Colorado practices. He can come to the press conferences, but his questions will no longer be answered by what Colorado says is a couple of columns criticizing Deion Sanders. Now, my thing is this, and in the Demolition Deion column, I had a chance to read it because I had heard all about this. And like I always talk about context, I like to read things and then give an opinion. It was hard because there was just a lot of talk about this. So I had already heard about it before I had even had a chance to read the column or even really formulate my own thoughts. That said, I'll just put it like this. And I've been on both sides of this thing. I've been in media relations, in athletics, right? And now, of course, as the host of this show and as a member of the media. Look, if you're name calling, like when you get into name calling and things of that nature, that's where I can understand an athletics department or a media relations office shutting down a reporter and not allowing that reporter, in essence, to ask questions. I think where this became a bigger firestorm is when Colorado issued the statement. Instead of just letting it lie and not answering any of his questions and maybe talking with him privately, as a couple of people have already said, and again, having been on the other side of this thing, meaning on the media relations side of this thing, I think that was a mistake, or the mistake that was made. That said, we've seen this. Look, we go, if you've read any of the pieces, I did two pieces on Deion Sanders. One was after, boy, he said so many things after a game about, it was just disparaging to HBCUs. The problem that I had was that some of the things he was saying just were blanketed statements to all HBCUs about how HBCUs operate, maybe from a negative standpoint. And then I also had a problem with Jackson State back then too. But look, the thing about it, Colorado is having the same issue. This is not Colorado saying we're not going to speak to Sean Keeler, or we're not going to speak to said. I mean, he even referenced not speaking to CBS, the local CBS affiliate there in Colorado, who actually hosts his coaches show and was pointed out, put in the bid to be able to host his coaches show. So you're in essence biting the hand that feeds you there from a CBS perspective. Okay. But this to me has Deion Sanders written all over it. It wasn't necessarily, when you're a program like a Jackson State or a smaller program, or even Colorado, like this wouldn't happen at Georgia. This wouldn't happen at Alabama. He was the head coach at Georgia, or he was the head coach at Alabama, or he was the head coach at Notre Dame, or he was the head coach at some of these bigger programs that have had success. This would not happen. Point blank. Okay. And now it was Jackson State's turn 3-4 years ago. Now it's Colorado's turn to deal with Deion Sanders and all that comes with him. Look, you talk about it, big win. I mean, it's all wins are good wins. As Rod Broadway used to say, all wins are good wins. Colorado got a good win on Thursday night, albeit against North Dakota State, a really, really good program. Had a chance to see North Dakota State up close and personal 2 years ago. It's a phenomenal program. You can see why it's won so many national championships. Colorado won the football game. But getting back to all of this other stuff, I think this is Bush League, quite frankly, whereas you come out and say, Deion Sanders, Colorado as a whole, that they're not going to answer. You say it. It's one thing not to do it. To come out and say it, I think, is absolutely Bush League. So I thought I would definitely address that. Let's break down the HBCU National Game of the Week between North Carolina Central and Alabama State. Game's going to be played in Miami Gardens, Florida. The Orange Blossom Classic. Got two excellent programs, one in which it's just 2 years removed, meaning North Carolina Central, from being named HBCU national champs. The other, Alabama State, who on paper, in my opinion, may be the best team in all of HBCU football. So let's break this thing down. Let's start with North Carolina Central's offense. You had an all-star quarterback, Davius Richard, one of the best players. When it's all said and done, I think will be one of the best players in the history of HBCU football, when it's all said and done. But Walker Harris is now the quarterback. And this was named early, okay, early on. Trey Oliver said, this is our guy. He played in a minimum nine games. He may have played in all the games last year, but he had a lot of experience. 5 touchdowns to no interceptions on last year. Did some really, really good things. North Carolina Central, obviously high on him. He's got a guy like a Joaquin Davis, wide receiver coming back, Jamari Taylor at the running back position, the offensive line should be solid. We'll see if there are enough weapons, and we'll see how good, okay, how good really that offense it really is for North Carolina Central. When I look at Alabama State, okay, and from a defensive perspective, and I want to break it down sort of this way. Boy, that's a really, really, really good defense. You already, okay, had some guys that really, really could get it done. You add now Arico Dozier, one of the best players in the SWAC, was an HBCU All-American at the linebacker position last year for Arkansas Pine Bluff. You know, you've got all of these guys. You know, you've got the Thomas kid, right? You've got, you know, DeMarcus Cunningham at linebacker. Like, this defense, even though you look lose like a Mikey Victor in the secondary, this defense is absolutely spectacular. All right, let me flip this thing because we're running out of time here a little bit. I look at the offense for Alabama State, and I don't think it can be overstated how big a key that I think that, and by the way, you lose Colton Adams also on the defense. That's a huge loss. But again, bringing in Rico Dozier at that linebacker position is huge. But offensively, Andrew Boddy can throw the football. He can run the football, put up a lot of numbers. He was just not on a very good Texas Southern team on last year. I think with the running situation, should be pretty solid. And that offensive line should be pretty solid also for Alabama State. When I look at North Carolina Central from a defensive perspective, look, only four starters returning. Some other guys are going to step up. I'm going to really have to step up. But I think it's an excellent coaching staff from a defensive perspective. You know, Trey Oliver is a defensive-minded coach. So I think that the defense overall throughout the course of the season will be good. We'll just have to see how good it's going to be in this football game. It's going to have to be very, very good in this particular football game. First game of the season for both teams. I would also make mention that North Carolina Central is 5-1 since 2021 is 5-1 in nationally televised games. I don't mean streaming games. I mean on games that are on cable or are on national television or network television, as it were. 5-1. I think that's huge, including the victory in 2022. On ABC in the Celebration Bowl. That said, I just think that the especially a first football game, when I look at the roster, especially, you know, it's hard to break down, okay, the entire roster in terms of top to bottom and looking at the overall depth. That's difficult because you got new guys coming in. There's going to have to be some cohesion, and I'm talking about both football teams in this respect. But when you talk about the first 11 on either side of the football, I think Alabama State has the advantage right there. And I think that will show in this football game, in the Orange Blossom Classic. I think it's going to be a good football game. I think it's going to be a close football game. But I like Alabama State to win the Orange Blossom Classic against the North Carolina Central Eagles. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Eddie Robinson Jr., the head football coach at Alabama State, for joining us today here on the program. I'd like to welcome our newest affiliate and those listening to us in Norfolk, Virginia, and the Hampton Roads area on Hot 91 WNSB. Thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. And always remember to support those that support. Yo, Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.